Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I'm with Lacey Langston. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So why don't we go ahead and get started and tell us a little bit about Nomadic Faith.
Okay, so Nomadic Faith is our family's book company that we've created in the past year. And we've had a couple of books published and kind of started about a year and a half ago. My family and I had already started homeschooling my children. I was a public school teacher before that. But at the time, I was homeschooling my kids, and some changes came to our family, and we decided that we were going to sell everything and move into an RV and go on the road. And as we were on the road, we were just kind of praying to God about what He wanted us from this new stage of life and how we wanted to grow in our faith. And so the term Nomadic Faith kind of originated from that, and the fact that we were just moving around now. And then last year, my husband had mentioned, like he had mentioned 100 other times throughout our marriage, that, hey, you should write a book. You should really do this. And, you know, every other time I had completely dismissed it. Like, what would I even write about? I have nothing to say at all. But this time when he said it, for whatever reason, it hit differently. And I thought, yeah, I think that you're right about this. I think this is what God wants me to do at this point in time. So the children book was my first thought. Like I said before, that I was a public school teacher for 10 years. We had also been foster parents for 3 or 4 years. And so at this new stage of life, some of those ways that I had previously poured into the lives of children and influenced children, those were no longer part of my life anymore. And I still felt God calling me to do that, but I needed a new avenue in which to do that. So I prayed that God would help me and allow me to write a children's book, and that that book would be of Him and for Him and would point to Him. And so I still didn't know what I was going to write about. I had no title. I had no topic. I had no words at all. So I remember being in a church in Tennessee while we were on the road. And again, still in the middle of the service, my mind was just going a million ways about what would I even say. And I just decided to take a second and pray to God that, Lord, I want to do this. If you want me to do this, I want to do it. But I have nothing to offer you. And just realizing that God was enough, that God was all I needed. I didn't need the words, because He would provide it. And so right there in the church service, I started, penciling, but I was actually typing on my phone. So I was typing in my phone what the first few lines would be. And it starts, I want to create to make something new. I'll brainstorm ideas and research them too. And then He gave me the last few lines of the book, which are, so God, give me words and show my hands what to do. Whatever I make should point straight to You. And within a day, He had pretty much given me all the in-between as well. It took some time to read over and improve and make necessary changes. But the whole story was basically my heart, that I want to do something for God, but then just relying on Him to actually make that a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Why did you originally start homeschooling your children?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why. I definitely did not ever think that that was a desire I had. I was very content in my job, and I had a lot of confidence in my teacher friends. I could point to teachers in every grade at the schools I taught in that I would have loved to teach my children.
Mm-hmm.
But then I literally woke up one day with a desire to be home with them and for me to be the one pouring into them and teaching them. And some things were going around. It was in 2021 that I made the decision. So we had already gone through some of the craziness of COVID and probably went along with more than what we should have gone along with, and finally became discontent enough to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. How cool is it? Because you mentioned that you guys travel in an RV. What are some of the experiences that your family has had together through traveling across the country?
We've had so many experiences. I mean, we've seen really such a small part of the United States, so I can't speak on the most beautiful parts of the country. But for us, our heart is in mountains and hiking and waterfalls and experiencing the nature together. But my favorite is homeschooling on the road, because the things that we're studying about and seeing pictures of in books, we are actually physically going to see. My oldest daughter's in third grade, and so she's studying like each state at a time. And so we got to read about the Statue of Liberty and how it became about. And then we got to stand there with it. Cool. We've seen the Alamo, and we learned about the state birds and what food. So last week we were in West Virginia, and so we had to go hunt down pepperoni rolls because West Virginia is famous for their pepperoni rolls. So just letting my kids see and touch and experience all of God's creation, and then also what we're learning about in the books is my favorite part.
It really is. It's hands-on learning.
Absolutely.
Like, you can learn about it. Like, I've experienced this now. Like, the history that I learned growing up, you know, I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'll keep it in my back pocket. But now I'm like, I want to go to these places. I want to see them. I want to relearn the history that I didn't listen to once in the past. So I think it's completely different. Like, I think that's the beauty in homeschooling and being able to travel is you're learning it, but then you can also, like, put it into action and physically see what you're learning about.
That's right. It's a completely different experience. And I've had, you know, mine are all very young. My oldest is 8 and my youngest is 5. And so I know that some people think they're never going to remember this, but they'll remember some. And I remember experiencing with them, which isn't enough for me. But even my daughter has made some connections. We went to visit, it's called the Mayflower Tube. So it's a replica of the Mayflower, but it was a gift from another country. And I'm not going to say which one because I'll get it wrong. With my luck, I'll get it wrong. But it was a gift from another country. And so when I was, my daughter asked, is this the original Mayflower? And I was explaining, no, it's not the original, but it was a gift from another country. And she immediately thought, oh, like how the Statue of Liberty was a gift. I said, yes, exactly like that. And I just had this moment of like, how many third graders even make that connection, you know, right. But once you see something, it sticks differently than just hearing about it.
How many books have you published?
So this year we published 2. Our first one was Creating Something New, which was the one I described earlier. And the second one is called Something Worth Sharing. And it's very similar. It shares the same rhyming and the same kind of silly imagery that the first book has. But the second one was very important to me because it explicitly shares the gospel of Jesus Christ and encourages our kids to share the gospel as well. And to me, that's the most important message we can put in our books and in the minds and hearts of our children. So that one was important for me to put out there as well.
When we talked earlier, you mentioned about how you've seen some parents complaining about having to go to their kids' schools and sign these forms. Can you expand and retell that portion of it for us?
Yeah, I'll try my best. as someone who, you know, has been in the public school system and then now I'm homeschooling, I have a different perspective on things, obviously. But I also think that to an extent, my job is easier. I hear parents say all the time, I could never homeschool. You know, I'm not qualified to do so. But we have such great resources that we really are empowered to be able to do that as moms. But I have a way better look on how what is being poured into my children, right? I'm the one teaching. I'm the one giving them the resources they have. I'm the one making the decisions and the reinforcements for them. And so there's not really a whole lot that I'm not aware of aside from, you know, any kind of extracurriculars or things like that they're involved in. Whereas when I sent my child to school, I just trusted for, you know, 8 hours of the day, I trusted that their teacher was being loving and respectful and kind, that the resources they had were appropriate or were age appropriate. And if I was not highly involved, there were things that I would miss. And so as policies have changed and I've seen schools are handling things differently to try to be in line with things legally, but also to do what's best for the kids. So policies kind of get, require more from the parents. And as it requires more from the parents, I just want to encourage parents to see that as a good thing, because as schools are requiring permission slips or are requiring parent feedback, that is our voice. And if we are reluctant for those things, if we are complaining that we have to go into the school to have these conversations, we're forfeiting rights that should be ours. And we're relinquishing control of our children's education, really.
That's a great way to put it. And I think something that stuck out to me that you said is, you know most of what is being poured into your kids. But when your kids go to public school, you don't know what's being poured into your kids. Right. And so when you have the opportunity to see what's being poured into your kids, you should take that 100% every single time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See that as an open door and not an inconvenience for you. And then, you know, aside from trusting, we need to be engaging with conversations with our children. Like, we can't shy away from conversations that we feel are uncomfortable or awkward, because we have to open that door for our kids to share these things with us in a safe place as well.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. What is your, or God's, God's dream for Nomadic Faith Books?
That's a great question, and a really great way of putting it, because people often ask me, are you going to write another one? And I hope to. Yes, I would love to write another one. I have some ideas for another one. But my goal is just to honor Christ in it. And so when I put out these books, it was really just a way of reaching children with the good news of Jesus and putting resources in parents' hands that give them an open door to have these conversations about Jesus in a kid-friendly way. Mm-hmm. So the goal is certainly not to grow and to become rich from the sales of these books. That's not anything that was ever the goal or the promise, you know, when I did that. But just to tell people about Jesus. That's it.
That's amazing. And I think there's a lot of parents that fall in between. You have some people that have the opportunity to be able to pull their kids out of school and homeschool them. But then you also have people who are completely fine with their kids being in the postal system. And then there's people who fall in the middle who might not want their kids in the public school system, but don't have the means to be able to take them out. And so I think, you know, not only advising what books are inappropriate and taking some of the books out of schools, it's also important to be able to say, here are some books that share the love of Jesus. Here are some books that you can replace some of these bad ones, you know, like the worst ones. But it's important to, like, when you're taking something away, to also replace it.
Right. Which I think that a lot of time is what your goal is, right? Whenever you're putting resources out there. And I think that our generation, you know, while we have to parent differently and be more intentional with social media, we're also given a great tool with social media, because even on Facebook, I'm involved in lots of Facebook groups that do Christian book reviews that offer resources for homeschool parents. So, you know, parents who have no education background at all are able to find the resources to be confident in educating their children, mm-hmm. or confident in knowing how to find appropriate books or appropriate resources for our children. So, yeah, absolutely. Looking at those resources, because it is out there. I mean, it's easy for us. The bad stuff is usually the loudest stuff. So it's easy for us to get discouraged and think that there aren't positive resources. But people are out there intentionally putting out godly resources for our families and for our kids if we just take the time to research them and look for them.
Definitely. They're out there.
Right.
How can people get involved with Nomadic Faith and also purchase your books?
Well, our books can be purchased at nomadicfaith.com. Very simple. Both of the books are on there, and you'll stay updated if other books are published as well. But also on TikTok and on Instagram, we kind of share more of our family story of what led us to being in the RV and how God just really worked and restored our family through that transition, and keep up with all of our adventures on the road, too.
That's fun. What's your handle on those social media?
It is nomads.party of 5, number 5.
Well, Lacey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.